Hello, diamond beauties and interdimensional beings of light. It's Lisa here, your mystic guide, inviting you to come and take a ride with me as we journey through space and time. Our mission is to create conscious content for 1111D, sharing resources of light for the new reality. Welcome to the Buddhist Biohacker.
Buddhist Biohacker would like to thank our partners Block Therapy, Purity Coffee, Dry Farm Wines, Omnia, and 2-1 Photography. Information can be found on lisamgunshore.com. Join our forum at miwi.com/Buddhist Biohacker and watch live on YouTube on the Buddhist Biohacker channel.
Well, hello, everybody. Hello there. It's Thursday, October 15th, and welcome to another episode of the Buddhist Biohacker. It is Herbal Thursdays, my favorite time, and I'm very excited to welcome with us back Cheryl Garcia, the Colorado herbalist. Hi, Cheryl.
Hello.
So happy to have you back.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here.
Yes, yay. I'm so jealous because I wish I had a witchy hat. I'm going to have to work on that before the month is over. But I do have my witchy potions and bottles and things. So maybe I'll share those. But so what are we going to talk about today? I'm excited to just dive in.
So I really wanted to talk about, tea, because I love teas, and how to make your own witchy tea with making tea with intention, kind of think of it kind of like a potion. So so what I love about tea, and we're getting into cooler season, so it's just kind of what you do, is that you can make it for flavor, you can make it for purpose, you can make it for health. So it's all these things, and you can combine them, different things together, for all of the above. So tea actually all in one cup, and I have my cup of tea here.
That's so cute.
It combines all the elements. So you have your, earth element is the actual herb, and you have, water, air, and fire when you create a cup of tea. So that's like the basics. And before we start though, I do wanna do a couple of disclaimers for the purists out there. The actual true tea comes from one plant, the Camellia sinensis plant. So that's your black tea, your green tea, white, and oolong, I believe. So herbal tea is actually parts fruit, bark, herbs, other types. So I just want to put that out there so nobody needs to comment about it. But for the purpose of this video, when I say tea, it's all of that. So we're just going to say that. And also, I wanted to say this, that that when you're making a tea, if you're on and you're using herbs, if you're on medications, check with your doctor. If you're getting kind of funky with your teas, meaning you're testing out some different types for, you know, some magic. And if you're pregnant, there are safe teas if you're pregnant, safe herbs. Just you want to check with your doctor or a midwife herbalist. Regular midwives aren't always up to date on the herbs with pregnancy, but just so you know ahead of time, just want to put that out there. So when you're making a tea with an intention, or just any tea, you can make it be like a ritual. So you think about what you want in it. So for an example, we'll start with the tea I have here. So my favorite black tea is actually Earl Grey. So it's a black tea with bergamot in it, and I am slightly addicted to it. I just love it. But black tea in general is kind of in a magical way, can give you courage. And then I made this tea with the intent of kind of introspection. So I used the Earl Grey tea, and then I actually put a little bit of lavender in it. So lavender on a health benefit is like calming and relaxing. And on a spiritual benefit, it can also help your third eye chakra and give you a little insight and spiritual insight too. So that's what I chose as my tea. And when you put the tea together, you're thinking about it, you're boiling your water. It's like a calm process ritual. And as you're doing it, you're just kind of focusing on that. So then when it's together and you're sipping it, it's still doing that whole spiritual process and ritual in it. And it's, it kind of, as they say, nourishes the soul. At the same time, you're getting the benefit from the actual tea. And I love that. It's funny. I watch a lot of, I watch a lot of British mysteries, and Agatha Christie is my favorite. And so they always have tea. It's a British thing. And one of the British things. And, when somebody is gone through trauma, they make them a cup of tea. And it really is calming, just tea. Making the cup of tea, having the cup of tea is calming in itself. And that's part of the ritual of it too. So,
you know, that's funny, Cheryl, sorry to interrupt you, but yeah. It's funny because of all the years we've known each other, I didn't know that. And I'm totally an Agatha Christie nerd. And I know we were talking earlier about watching Murder, She Wrote, totally that. And I love Sherlock Holmes. Like, I'm a Sherlock Holmes nerd. Like, I've watched them all. Yeah. I've watched the new ones. I really liked the new one, actually. And so anyways, I just watched the new version of Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express, and I really liked that too. So
Death on the Nile with Kenneth Branagh.
Yes.
Comes out this month.
Ah, that's so exciting.
I'm actually going to the movie theater for it. So yeah.
Oh my God, I love that. So that's pretty fun because we're in this like October magical witchy month, and to talk about all those mysteries, it makes me want to go watch a Sherlock Holmes movie for sure.
I know, right? With your cup of tea?
Yeah, my magical tea.
Yay! So I found this when I was kind of researching different magical properties of herbs for tea, because there's magical properties of herbs where you don't actually ingest the herb. So you need to know there's a difference. When you go to buy herbs and you go to a magic store, they're not necessarily, those herbs are not grown and processed for ingestion. Just make sure to be careful. They may not be safe. I found this this blog post, and it was on fairytaleslavery.com, which is kind of an odd little name, but it was a really good blog post about magical tea. And she had also suggested that when you find your intention and you're getting ready to do it, that actually you could even do an incantation while you're making your tea before, and you make it and before you drink it, to actually say an incantation or whatever to put a little more potency, magical potency into the tea. And I thought that was amazing because that is putting it into the words and putting it out there. And I thought that was amazing too. And she had some really good ideas. And you can use your intuition when you're going to, even if you don't know a lot about herbs or fruits or any of that, if you just sit for a minute with it, let's say you just like, maybe you're not a big tea person, but let's say you like chamomile, you know, at night, which is also absolutely one of my favorite teas. Also, I love chamomile. That is also has magical properties too. But let's say, like, I like chamomile. I wonder what I can add to chamomile, and then just sit with it for a minute and see what your intuition tells you. And it's probably something that will, is something that's going to benefit you. And it'll probably, when you look it up, will actually be perfect for whatever you need in your life right then, or just what your spirit just needs for that moment. And it's opened up a lot for me with my spiritual practice. I actually had a time with my spirit team recently, and I was asking them about tea, and I had gotten some, ooh, here it is, some mugwort. This is mugwort, if you can see it. It's kind of, it's hard to tell, but it's kind of like a, it's like webby.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's a little webby. And, oh, let me give a plug. So in Nederland, Colorado, if you're in Colorado, there is an apothecary down there. And of course I forgot the name, but it's the only one in Nederland. Sorry. Beautiful drive to get there. It was an amazing apothecary. And at the time I was there, a guy named Gabriel was working and he was very helpful. So, and they do, if you go online, they do ship to where you are too. And that's where I got the mugwort. So I decided to try mugwort. It's very good for lucid dreaming and dream states. And also I wanted to try it for my channeling and stuff. So I had met with my spirit team, and literally met in my little, Lisa will know, on my beach. And I was asking them if tea would be good to have during these times. And they clearly said yes. And I swear I looked and we were all had a cup of tea.
I love that.
So yeah. And they, for me, they had told me, mugwort, oh my gosh, I'm going to forget what they told me. Yeah. Cause my brain went kapooey. It was, clearly I'm not supposed to share it because I completely forgot what it was. It was three herbs together in, a tea. I'm not supposed to share because I forgot it. I'll remember it when I need it.
Yeah. What are the magical? So what all are the magical properties of mugwort and chamomile? Both, I'm curious, because I love chamomile. And actually, you know, one of my favorite things to do is I take chamomile tea baths.
Oh, so
yes. I take baths in the chamomile. And another one that I love is catnip baths. Mm-hmm. Those are really, really healing for me. Like I feel super supported. And so I'm just curious what the magical properties are of chamomile and mugwort, because now I'm interested.
Yeah. So chamomile, well, it's relaxing. So it's relaxing physically and it relaxes your energy too. So, so it helps you be more receptive to spirit, to messages and stuff. When you're in the bath, I'm guessing it's doing all of that, relaxing physically and energetically. That would be my guess, that you get the whole package, especially if you mix it with the catnip. I'm surprised you stay awake.
Oh, I know. So good.
The chamomile, it says, because I had it right here, because I love, chamomile was the first herbal tea I ever had. And my daughter hates it. She must have come from a different mother. I don't know, because I absolutely love it. It says, I love this. It says, the universe and God always have your best interests in mind. So when things seem challenging, you're either trying to go in a different direction than when you're truly being guided, or you're unwilling to receive help and support. So chamomile allows you to let your guard down and let in the healing love of God and your angels, so you know which direction to go. So it's kind of that relaxing, so you can actually receive the direction. I thought that was great. I know the mugwort mugwort is really strongly lucid dreaming. Mugwort has a history, a biblical history too. I will get the names wrong, so I'm not going to try to remember who it was in the Bible. Protection. They would put it on a belt to keep out for protection from spirits and ghosts. That was not intentional that it came up on today. That's what it was. But It also is good for introspection too. So the dream work, introspection, lucid dreams, it can be too strong for some people that suffer from a PTSD. So if you use mugwort and lavender together, it kind of gives a nice balance for dream work and stuff. That's the biggest thing on it. So it will open up that that plane that you go in when the lucid dreaming. I don't know what that's called either. I'm sure Lisa does.
The astral plane, or but you could in theory go to the causal plane or the angelic realms or.
Yeah. So I was trying to do it not in dream state. But in channeling states too, because I figured it would. I'm practicing with it because I figured it would open up the same thing spiritually. So
interesting. How's it going? How much have you practiced with it? I'm curious if it's worked or if your dreams have changed or.
So I tried it once for dream state, and when I went to sleep, like as I was going to sleep, everything got super sparkly. So I don't know what that was, but yeah. My dreams were not different. I have trouble sleeping. So I struggle with that. So I have other things in my dreams, in my sleep state. And I tried it once awake channeling. And there were other outside struggles because I live in an apartment. So I had some issues not related to the mugwort. So we're going to continue to practice in quieter times. Let's just say that.
I have some great questions. Carrie's loving your hat and your cup, by the way. I should go get my
Carrie.
I probably
should. You should get your cauldron kitty.
I should get my kitty and the cup and bring it in here. Maybe I'll go at least try to find the cup. The kitty was going wild. For those of you that are new to my little kitty story, I dreamt about a kitty, black and white kitty. Sure enough, found the kitty at the shelter website, went and got her, and her name is Cauldron, and she is my little October baby, and she is wild right now. She's wild kitty. But I'll see if I can get her. But Carrie's asking, what kind of plant is mugwort and what part of the plant is used for tea? And then Claire says, I use chamomile in many of my blessing dolls. Oh my gosh, you guys need to see Claire's blessing dolls. Claire, we should have them on the show so you can show them. And she said, its magical properties include purification, calming, healing, prosperity, luck, and love. I love chamomile. Like, I'm a huge sucker.
Yeah.
I'm super into ashwagandha and rose right now. I actually ordered a huge bag, bulk size of ashwagandha because I cook with it, like I bake with it. But I also use it in prescriptions for clients. And in Ayurveda, ashwagandha, it's an adaptogen herb. So it does whatever you need it to do, but it's really, really, really good for the nervous system. And so I've just super been into the ashwagandha with rose, which rose I normally hate, but I'm really into it. So I know something must be going on with my estrogen, but I'll let you answer Carrie's plant question and I'll go grab my cup and possibly the kitty as well.
Okay. So, mugwort is, I'm going to probably get this wrong. So first, wort is the word for healing, healing plant. So there's motherwort, mugwort. They're all very good. Healing plants, motherwort's good for calming. It's part of the Astera. You gave me a hard question. I'm sorry. And it is the leaves. It's really hard to see. I'm sorry, guys. It's like that. But I'm going to Google right now because I'm not going to leave you hanging. Astera. I love you, Carrie. You're okay. This is all on me. Hold on. I wasn't that prepared. Here we go. Here you go. Artemisia vulgaris. There's the Latin word. It's part of the Asteraceae. So that's like the asters, the daisy family, part of the daisy family. And they use the leaves and stems basically for it.
Here's Cauldron.
There she is, Licky.
She's so sweet.
She must have been sleeping.
She was, because she's pretty chill, but she's probably going to want to get down. And then here's my favorite Cauldron cup.
That's awesome.
It's so good.
I was going to tell you, channeling today, my tea was, there you go, Carrie. That figures. Yeah. Today, my tea, I did use mugwort today with rose and tulsi. For class today. That's what I was doing. Reminded me what came to me with my spirit team. So you just reminded me.
Aww.
That was the tea. So rose is also a very good, something very good to add to the teas for psychic connections and stuff too.
I've read, we should do a whole show on that, because I've read a bunch of herbs that really help you in the dream state, like you're saying, with lucid dreaming and astral projection. And and there's some herbal teas, because I'm just not somebody who's going to do plant medicines. You know, it's not in my vows and things.
That's why you have me.
Yes, exactly.
So I have printed up some things that can help. So.
Cauldron.
Let me do
through the screen.
Hi, Kitty.
Yeah.
She's like,
I'm coming.
She can come visit. Mine surprisingly haven't showed up. I might have locked them in the other room. So I'll just go through some of them. So calendula, and we're talking about not necessarily the healing properties, but more the spiritual psychic properties for ingestion. And I say that because it is different if you're using them in spell work, is different from making a tea with them. Can be different, but should be similar.
Mm-hmm.
You can always do more magic with the herbs if you're not ingesting them for safety reasons, obviously. They have more work. But calendula, activate innate healing abilities. So, and it's also an awesome healer in general, but it repairs your aura and brings energetic protection. Fennel tea they're done to healing too, reduce sugar cravings.
Ooh.
It's a good tummy tea. But on an energetic level, it gives you a pat on the back. So it'll help you focus on others and not so much on yourself. Ginger tea releases anger and frustration, helps you let go of resentment and jealousy. Hibiscus tea, which I just made some, lets you know that your sensitive side isn't a weakness, is an asset. So you can pick up on subtle energies around you. Heals past wounds and promotes forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Lavender, which I talked about a little bit, third eye chakra, helps resonate with that, helps psychic visions, intuitive insights. Lemongrass, which you don't hear a lot of usually in the stuff like this, it says it helps ward off distractions and procrastination.
Oh.
I need that.
Yeah.
Nettle tea. So nettle is actually one of my favorite teas for nutrition and there's like a huge list of what nettle does. It's an amazing tea. An amazing herb.
Almost every day I'm having nettle tea for those reasons, because the detoxification system, for the kidneys, the gallbladder, the spleen, like you said, the list.
Everything. Yeah. It's huge. It's like
the jam if you are trying to support your system to detox.
Yes. And so this is saying for when you feel worn out and drained, which is what we were kind of saying. It also provides energetic protection, giving you time to recharge, and helps you understand the lessons involved in your current situation, and you won't have to repeat them. Oh, that sounds like it'd be good during shadow work.
Yeah, well, Mercury retrograde just started, and I wonder if that wouldn't be good for Mercury retrograde, right?
Yes. All right, y'all. And I think they do. They sell nettle at Vitamin Cottage or Natural Grocers.
Yeah,
they do in the bulk section.
Sprouts and King Supers have it.
Okay, there
it's
you go.
That Yogi brand tea for sure, but then there's some other brands at the natural food stores that you can find that are probably better.
Okay, I usually buy bulk just because I buy the loose, but yeah, wow, wherever you can get it. I will say if you buy bag tea, you might want to, it's coming from the herbalist side, do two bags instead of one, because they usually don't do the, they do a very light dose in the one bag. So peppermint, it helps motivate and inspire. So it's a creativity herb plant, creates balance. Clears and balances the sacral and solar plexus chakras, lending you confidence and self-esteem. And thinking of essential oils too, when they're in diffusers, they tend to help that too. And here's the rose tea, is an ancient sacral spiritual herb that opens your heart. It attracts compassion, understanding, healing, and of course, love. So that helps you with being aware of your language and showing love in your language to everybody. And then we have.
That's interesting because I've been drawn so much to rose. And I know part of it has to do with my estrogen levels because it does impact that as well. But it's interesting because there's been challenges lately, you know, with friends and family, like we were talking offline.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that rose tea maybe is helping with some heart healing there. Seems like that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, and then the next section are actually heart herbs. So they help the heart chakra, physical and, of course, spiritual heart herbs. Astragalus, which is one of my fave herbs. It's not an herb, whatever, root. sorry. It so it helps you cope with stress, but it also corrects any imbalances you would have in your auras. Dan Shen, I don't know what that is. I'm sorry. That is a spiritual herb that has a strong connection to the heart. It is helpful when people have a fiery energy about them, seeming angry and aggressive. Hawthorn, which is an amazing herb. It's a heart herb, spiritual, physical, emotional heart. Hawthorn is amazing. That would be really good in a tea for especially people that are suffering broken heart, emotional heart of any. It's like a loving kindness coming in. And Korean ginseng. There's a lot of ginseng, so just make sure you know what you're doing, which ginseng you got, because they're not all the same. It's just, I learned that. Korean ginseng is, they're saying it deserves a great deal of respect. It stimulates and awakens the whole body. It heals and restores. So it nourishes the heart and clears feelings of debility. So it'll help you cope with stress, and that is physical and mental. Help you remember information. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
Something that I hadn't heard of before. Oh, I wanted to tell you about rosemary though. Rosemary is the one, and I learned this actually in an herbalist class, is a wisdom herb. So if you make a rosemary tea, your mind, your psychic intuition, everything, it just kind of travels. It helps it just go. So if you're doing any work or just want to wander, rosemary is an amazing herb that, and it's easily read, you know, it's readily available, that can get you there. And here they were talking about it, lifting negative thinking, and it does help the third eye chakra concentration and stuff. But it was so noticeable by, let's say, laymen, regular herbalists who were not on the spiritual end of herbalism as much, that it's noted in old herbalist books too, that it's really amazing on the rosemary. So I don't know, they even have stuff for hand chakras. Do we need hand? I know, isn't that strange?
That's interesting.
I just find that they pick hand chakras, third eye, heart, and hands. So we have elder and ginger for the hand chakras.
Ooh, I like that.
That's interesting. I don't know. I'm not going there. I don't know enough about the hand chakras.
Well, you know, the hand chakras, that's interesting because, you know, they're in the center, but kind of, because there's like, if you look at Qigong or Tai Chi or all that. So we really have like 188 chakras. So they're everywhere. So the main one is, of course, in the palms of your hands. And that's where the energy comes out when you're doing hands-on healing. But arguably, there's also chakras at the ends of every finger, right?
That makes sense why they would do that. Especially if you're a hand healer, a hands-on energy healer, why you would want to know specifically to help that.
Yeah. And then I wonder, you know, what comes to mind right now while we're talking to you, because both of us have to stay focused on our nervous system health. I wonder too, like when our hands go numb and tingly and things like that, I wonder if it would help with that kind of thing. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I wonder.
They're both. Well, I know physically those herbs are both warming.
Okay.
It says for elder, elder tree has a long history connected to ancient mysticism. Mm. They farmers would call it the elder mother. It has a powerful energy that awakens your intuition and opens your chakras. And it's saying all chakras. Mm. Elder flowers have a connection to the head and are excellent for people with constant colds, runny noses, or hay fever.
Ooh, nice.
Well, that's interesting. So then the berry, well, it's under hand chakras, but they didn't talk about the hands. Well, there you go. I don't know. But I have, so, okay, so this is the berry. I'm going to try this. I don't know if we can get this. Nope. How am I going to do this?
You got to hold it up, maybe.
No, they're so tiny.
Oh, I see. Yeah, they are little.
That's the berry.
They're so cute.
They're little. They're tiny. I make elderberry syrup with cinnamon and that's not it. I have flowers too. Cinnamon and some other stuff in it. I still have some, so I haven't made it since last year. And then this is the elderflower.
Oh, pretty.
So
I love elder tea. I think that elder tea is almost like it's equal to chamomile for me. Like I like both of them a lot.
Yeah, it's one of my fave things too. Mm-hmm. Well, immunity. It's just, but it's so much more, and it tastes good. So
yeah,
I love it. I don't know if I have, what else do I have? I just wanted to mention also that, I also found out that the black teas are, also have magical properties. So like I was saying about my Earl Grey, that, black tea can be, give you courage, energy, because it's caffeine, of course. Let's be honest. Herbal tea does not have caffeine, just so everybody knows. Stability, alertness and stuff. That doesn't all come from caffeine, but that's what that one is. Green tea, the magical properties are passion, healing, love, immortality. and cleansing. Then white tea, we have happiness, wisdom, purification, protection, clarity. So new beginnings. So as you're mixing teas and your intention, like we have a new moon, new beginning, you could start with a white tea base and then add whatever your intention is for the new beginning of the new moon.
Love that.
You know, and I was trying to think of something, but nothing came right away. So there's that. Then they have the oolong tea is for reflection, meditation, concentration. So then again, if you're making a tea, you have, if you want that as a base, so it doesn't have to be all herbal. And it goes through, there's a magic yellow tea, which I've had that once. It's not as common, clearly. That's happiness, prosperity, wealth. Pure tea. It's the fermented black tea, and I cannot say it right. I'm so sorry. It's P-U-U-R-E-R-H. And I'm sorry, I cannot say it right.
I could say it just from hearing the spelling.
I have, let me get a box I have. Then you can look at it. It's okay. Actually good.
Yeah. And thank you, Catherine. Catherine's saying this is great information. Thank you. So thank you, Catherine, and everybody who's joining. I love it so much.
Okay, so it is that word. Mine's emperors, but P-U-E-R-H. So it's a fermented black tea. And this one's from Unan, China. Anyway, it's fermented. It's good. I like it. I even have a chocolate one because it's chocolate.
Oh my God, that's cool. Well, so, my 2 cents on the green teas and the black teas. So for those of you that are moldies out there that have a relationship with mycotoxins that's not so great, like myself, black tea tends to be higher in mycotoxins, which is the toxin coming from mold, because they often let the leaves sit and get moldy. And even when they dry them out, it doesn't get rid of the mold toxins. So I have found that most organic brands don't seem to really bother me, but I don't drink black tea hardly ever because of that reason. So if you do have sensitivities, and then green tea is really great, really high in antioxidants. I found out I have a genetic SNP, SNP, that green tea actually turns on some bad genes for me, which Yeah. So I still drink it sometimes because I still think there's a place for it. We should never just cut anything out except for maybe, like, I'm way allergic to dairy, so I've cut that out. But like, I think, so every once in a while I still have it, but I do notice if I have, like, if I get on a green tea, I used to drink it all the time and I had certain like symptoms and things that just have gone away. So it's just kind of an interesting, those are just my interesting facts, not to scare you.
Wow.
That, but I do think, like, you know, the herbal teas, the white teas, to me, those are a good, happy space to be if you're battling any kind of toxicity, I think. Otherwise, yeah. I think it probably is fine. But,
and for me, I can't drink straight green tea. It makes me nauseated. And I've only met one other person that it does that to. But if it's mixed slightly with something, I'm okay. It's the weirdest thing.
I wonder if you have the same genetic. I have my finder right here. No joke, you guys. This is my genetic analysis. Is this
holy cow.
Of my own genes. I'm going to look for it while you're talking.
Okay.
If I can find out which genetic SNP it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to know, because my son loved, when growing up or as a teenager, loved green tea. And of course, he thought I was weird, but yeah, that's okay. Moms are meant to be weird when your kids are teenagers.
It's true. Oh my gosh. I'm gonna
find it. So the pure or whatever tea, this one.
Yeah, yeah.
The magical properties, banishment, reflection, death, divination, prosperity, wisdom, psychic development, rubus. I'm sorry, guys. Strength, courage, determination, patience, longevity, wisdom. So you can always use those as a base and then add herbs or fruit or whatever to those. when you're creating your teas. The other thing I want to not forget to mention is how much. So like I said, I buy loose leaf teas. And usually on the main tea for one cup of hot water, I use a teaspoon. And then I kind of intuitively go from there. For my Earl Grey tea, I did a teaspoon of the Earl Grey, and lavender is very strong. So it was very little lavender, or it would overpower it. So I would go like a teaspoon of the main tea. And if it's a lighter herb that you're adding to it, like I was going to say, lemon balm is a very light tasting herb. I'd probably do a teaspoon of that too, and just kind of play with it for flavor. But it's usually a teaspoon of the tea per cup of tea, a cup of water, sorry. And then anywhere, I usually brew it 10 minutes only because I'm doing it for a stronger tea. And not everybody likes that. So 4 to 5 minutes is what they usually recommend for a tea, like a black tea type thing. 10 minutes on a herbal tea isn't that long on an herbal tea. So you kind of play with it and see. You can always taste it after 5 and say, oh, no, this needs a little longer, and keep it. And always cover it when you brew it too, because a lot of the herbal teas, when it's steaming, the oils from the herbs, like peppermint or a lot of them, it's escaping. And that's a lot of the good stuff. And so you want to keep it covered. So then it'll just go back. It'll drip back into the tea, and you get to keep all the oils, the good stuff. Mm-hmm. The good stuff doesn't escape when it's brewing. So keep it covered when you're brewing it.
That's cool. I found my snip.
Okay.
Page right here.
Oh my God. Oh yeah.
This is the science girl in me.
That is.
It's the DHFR snip. So if you get a genome analysis, it's totally worth doing.
Yeah.
I can do all the functional testing. So I'm a Great Plains clinician. I'm working on getting my certification so I can do genome analysis also. But the SNP is DHFR, which is dehydrofolate reductase. And essentially, it's part of the MTHFR or metatetrahydrofolate genetic mutation. So because of my genetic mutation, it can actually, the ECGC, which is the antioxidant found in green tea, can actually like flip that in a bad way for me. Oh. So that's what it is. So what I have to watch out for is the ECGC. So it also can be affected by folic acid, grapefruit seed extract, and NSAIDs. So it's kind of interesting what has the stuff in it. So it's kind of,
wow.
But yeah, it's just part of the way that your body creates the methylation process. But what's interesting is the DHFR, to have a SNP in that, is also about decreased fertility and autoimmune dysfunction, which are things I've managed through. So, you know, it's yeah. kind of an interesting thing, because you think, I mean, I would never take an NSAID now, but
right.
you think that green tea would be a problem. So there's your little science info for the day. Whatever that's worth.
That was good.
Cauldron the kitty has climbed into the closet. She like sleeps in the closet in my office. It's really cute. I have a massage table in there from when I did sound healing in person rather than remote. And she like climbs around the back of it in the little corner and like hides. Oh my gosh.
That's cute.
It's so cute. I have the new moon. You want to hear the new moon information? Because I have this particular shamanic astrology I follow that has a new moon. I'd be curious, like a little adventure. I thought I'd read what it's going to be tomorrow, because tomorrow's a super new moon, and maybe
yeah.
you can share what teas out of your list.
Oh, yeah.
Good for
Let's
it.
Try.
Yeah. So it says, a super new moon in Libra tomorrow. It's at 1:31 p.m. Mountain Daylight Time. This new moon is a marker for an extremely intense time frame that includes the highest of the highs and the lowest in the lows in terms of emotional reactions, dealing with old karmic debris, and revisiting the darkest of the dark nights of the soul. Sounds awesome already.
I'm excited, really. Right.
It is also a window of intense clarity, intuition, spiritual awakening, and commitment. Anything can happen during this time, and we all need to be prepared to be flexible, optimistic, and willing to change rapidly and efficiently to accommodate disruptions and other unexpected events. Collective dreams are influencing the future. So anything you can do to embrace improvement and visualize a positive outcome will be beneficial and supportive. It is an excellent time for prayers, a crucial time to stay out of drama. A new moon is a good time to reset and reevaluate what you're doing, where you're going, and who you're doing that with. So, yikes.
That is a good time to go in a cave.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to get higher. We'll see if I'm right, but it feels like it's going to get higher. Mercury retrograde, Mars in opposition.
I was actually, the first thing that came to me was chamomile.
Yeah.
Seriously, I was doing the chamomile, and then there was one other one I was thinking was, let me narrow on it. It was, oh gosh, I'm sorry, it's not popping. I almost feel like lavender, but I don't think that was the main one that was coming. Chamomile and all right, guys, you can help out in the chat. You can use your intuition. Come on, Carrie.
Well, yeah, like lavender. That sounds like a good bath to get into.
I know it does, right? Mm-hmm. But lavender did come to me, but there was one other one that I think was more like spot on, and I just can't, it like left. And I cannot bring it back up.
Well, if you think of it, you could put it in the MeWe forum.
Yeah. Oh, it's one of those that drive me nuts.
Would that elder be good, you think?
Huh?
Would the elder be good? Like the elder flower tea? I mean, it sounds like we talked about this, the energy is sort of bursting right now, and with the super
moon
and Mercury retrograde. What was the one we thought would be good for Mercury retrograde? Oh, Sherry says ashwagandha.
Oh, because that is, you know, it's calming too, and it's that whole centering. I love ashwagandha. In fact, I just got powder to make a hot chocolate.
Oh,
ashwagandha.
Have you tried my brownie recipe yet?
No, but that was one on my list of the hot, why I got the powder.
Yep, that's why I got it. So my Get Grounded Brownies, you guys, is on the lisamgunshore.com site. And your brownies made with sweet potato and ashwagandha. Yes. My bag is in my pantry. I'm not going to get up again. But
no, you're okay. So there you go. So ashwagandha, the chamomile, lavender. Mm-hmm. So because part of it needs to be the calming, and part of it needs to be helping us to center and also to connect too, though.
I agree. What was
as much as we want to go into a cave, huh?
What was the one we said would be good for the Mercury retrograde? Because I feel like that would be good too. I feel like there was one that was like dealing with stuff in the past or something.
It was, yeah. That, oh yes. It was. That was it. It was hold on. That was the one on the tip of my tongue too, and I couldn't,
right at the beginning, I feel like
it out. It was, that wasn't it. Oh, calendula. Was it calendula?
Yes, that sounds right.
Oh my gosh.
Claire says mugwort, and Carrie says auricasia. I feel like calendula was the thing. It seemed like that was what you said that was like dealing with the past.
Bring healing and activate your innate healing abilities. That doesn't sound right. But yes, there was something that would have been good.
Whatever that was we said at the beginning.
So rewind and whatever we said was way back then.
Hibiscus.
So it heals past wounds and promotes forgiveness.
Okay.
And I made a hibiscus tea, but it has sugar. Just how I did it, because I put it in lemonade.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good. But hibiscus tea.
Hibiscus chamomile is probably a good mix.
Now it's on.
Yeah,
that's a chamomile.
Doesn't that sound like a super new moon tea?
It really does. Actually.
It does. Because, yeah, I think what we can expect tomorrow, I think the dam is bursting. Things are definitely exploding, and it's going to happen in your own individual life. And I think just keep looking at where you are directing your emotions. So if you're raging on Twitter, stop. And ask yourself what you're really raging about in your own life experience, and do some journaling and inquiry, and drink your tea that is hibiscus and chamomile and ashwagandha.
Yeah. Have your ashwagandha brownies.
Yes.
Oh, the chocolate too.
So this is totally naughty, but this weekend, so, you know, the kids are home this weekend, it's fall break, and we're going to carve pumpkins and all that stuff. And I'm going to try, and I'll post it on Instagram and stuff, but I'm going to try to do the Get Grounded brownies, the sweet potato brownies, and mix in the cocoa mel coconut caramels and make a caramel Get Grounded brownies. Doesn't that sound
good? I know where you live.
Well, but here's the other thing. I'm going to try this recipe. So this is what I'm going to do. Get Grounded brownies is sweet potato and ashwagandha and cacao, natural cacao powder and stuff. So I got an organic pumpkin at like a farm right here in Parker. So I'm going to make those brownies with pumpkin instead of sweet potato, homemade, baked in the oven, pumpkin. And then I'm going to take the cocoa mel caramels and mix them, you know, melt them down in a double boiler, and then, you know, marble them into the brownies and see.
Oh my gosh, seriously?
So yeah, so my pumpkin caramel Get Grounded brownies with ashwagandha, I guess I'll be eating those through the stress of the super new moon. Doesn't that sound good?
Seriously, I may come over. I'll just have my little trick or treat.
You can, because you know what? We've got, by the way, Carrie, we've got our, since she's
ribbons.
200 of them. So these are our ribbons for nonviolence. We're going to be giving those away to patrons and donors during the November Awakening. Yeah, here they are. And our merch should be here soon. So maybe you will have to come over, Cheryl, because our shirts and things are
coming. You'll have to hide a brownie for me, because
yeah,
you got four kids.
I will. And I'll take pictures for you guys and put an updated recipe up if it works out okay, because I think it will. And I think it'll be good.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, I live for pumpkin time. So I actually do a couple things. I get organic pumpkin pie pumpkins. And if I can get them from a farm, I will. I bake them. I roast the seeds and I make a pumpkin butter with MCT oil. So I blend the roasted seeds with MCT oil, some coconut oil, cinnamon, Ceylon cinnamon, and some other things. And so it's this nice fat omega-3, omega-6 rich pumpkin seed butter. And then I will, you know, eat it plain. I'll eat it with an apple or a pear. But it's a really great way to basically create a fat bomb, you know, to give fat. There was a kitty behind me.
There is.
Create like a pumpkin butter from the seeds fat bomb to get nice good fat. And then I save some of the baked, so some of the baked pumpkin will go into the brownies, but then the rest of it I save and I actually put it in my bulletproof turmeric coffee during the fall. So I do raw cacao powder, grass-fed collagen, MCT oil, some grass-fed butter or ghee, if I make homemade ghee. And then I'll do like a scoop of the raw pumpkin and then blend that with my purity coffee in the morning. And so it's like this rich, thick pumpkin, fatty, yummy, delicious chocolate coffee mocha thing.
That's amazing.
I have one here. Look at her. She's poking her head out. How cute is she? So cute. Oh my gosh. Carrie says boiled pumpkin is good for kitties and doggies with digestive issues.
It is.
This cat, this little one does not have digestive issues. This little one went from 1.6 pounds 10 days ago to 4.2 pounds. So she was not eating at the shelter, I don't think. She's just grown like a weed. She's just a big kitty now. She was teeny weeny 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
So Jennifer's asking if you have a shop. Hi, Jennifer. Oh, I miss you. I need to come visit the yaks at your yak farm. Jennifer has a yak farm too. We should go visit it.
That is so cool. I would love to.
And you and Jennifer should hook up because Jennifer, you should go to Cheryl's ColoradoHerbalist.com and email her because Jennifer is an incredible esthetician and she's made me some really awesome natural skin products. So you guys should.
That's great.
But I'll let you answer her question.
Yeah, I do not have a shop. I am in my, just everything out of my apartment. This is beautiful. This is my shop behind me. There you go.
Isn't that how we all work? This is my
hairway. Thank you, though. But yeah, I am at Colorado.
Maybe. There it is.
Yep, that's it.
Steph?
Yeah, stuff on a higher shelf too, behind the hat. There you go.
Oh, yeah, you do a lot more than I do. Most of my stuff in my kitchen.
Well, yeah, the stuff I use is in the kitchen. I mean, you know, the other tinctures are in the kitchen.
Does Jennifer have a yak website? She does. Jennifer, you should put it in the chat box because I
don't know what
it is. But I've had their yak meat, and it's so good. And, in fact, was just thinking about you the other day because I was like, we need to say hi, but also – I wanted to have some yak meat for the winter time because
I just want to talk to the yak. I don't want to eat the yak.
No, they're so sweet and they have chickens and stuff too. It's really sweet.
Oh, I used to have chickens. I loved having chickens. I always say they're the dumbest animal God made, but they're awesome. They really are. I'm sorry, they really are.
I've got a great story for you, and then I guess we probably should go, but I got a great story for you that'll make everybody laugh. So my sister used to have a farm, and she had chickens, and she had two chicken coops. She had these feeder chickens and then these other chickens, and these feeder chickens are basically bred for you to kill them and eat them. They're bred to be big, and it was literally like the smart chicken coop and the stupid chicken coop. And I remember I said I'd take care of the chickens for her. They went on some trip or something. And I was like, okay, I'll take care of the chickens. And it started snowing. I was there at the farm. I was trying to feed the chickens and it's snowing. And like the smart chicken coop, they were like going inside. They were like getting all warm in their house. And these feeder chickens were like walking around in the snow, laying eggs outside, not even paying. I'm like, you guys are so, and it was so sad. I felt so much compassion for those chickens. I was like, you guys have no idea what's going on at all.
Yeah, they don't. They really don't. But they deserve to run around.
They do. Well, and I don't know that my sister ever actually killed one of those chickens. I think, but they like killed themselves. Like one of them drowned like in their own water.
Mine were killed by a fox and a coyote. So we just did it for eggs and for to have chickens, like my kids and companionship.
I never kill an animal. I don't think. I think that would. I couldn't. But I remember my great grandmother Viola Hunt had her amazing farm in Salem, Oregon, and I love that it was in Salem. By the way, even though it was in Salem, Oregon, and man, she popped those suckers in the head and cut them.
I know.
I'm like, I just couldn't do it. I mean, I just couldn't do it. So
my mom told me about her grandma and chopping the head and everything. I'm like, when we got chickens, I said, one, we're not eating them. And two, I'm not killing them. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't. No. So they had the heat and the water and the runaround, and they were free range in the backyard.
Well, I think we need to go visit Jen at the Yak Farm.
Yes, we do, Jen.
Let's make a Colorado small gathering to the Yak Farm for those of you in Colorado, because it's pretty awesome and they're really beautiful animals. And the animal totem of the yak is so cool and so special. So, but yeah, you and Jennifer should talk anyways, because I think there's a lot of things. Oh, yes. Guys, it's been an hour. We're babbling on and on. It's pretty fun. I hope everybody had fun with us today.
I had fun.
Me too.
I love sharing the tea. I mean, not the gossip tea, but the actual tea.
Yep. I'm excited about it. So I think we need to make our super new moon teas. And if you guys are on MeWe or Instagram, just tag me and Cheryl and share your teas. I think it'd be fun to share a little brews tomorrow through the weekend, today through the weekend, and share what you're doing for the new moon too. I think that would be really awesome. And this little one's made her little, let's see if I can, there she is. Yep, she's found my meditation space where I sit and meditate for everybody watching, and she's located the comfy spot. Good grief. Oh my gosh. Well, hey, reminders, everybody, oneheartoneearth.net. If you have not yet registered, it's free. Go to oneheartoneearth.net. We have like 50 plus hours of live presentations, November 7th through the 14th. We have over 30 recorded presentations that will open up on November 1st. And if you are a member of a Jatakasha or a patron of the Light Library, you'll actually have access to those T-minus tomorrow afternoon, hopefully by the super new moon at its peak. You'll be able to start watching all those videos. Our intention for the One Heart, One Earth November Awakening event is for you to really learn about the facilitators, watch their presentations, engage in their information, and really integrate it. So when they come live, you can ask some questions and you can share your experiences with their presentation and really have open and fun conversation. We'll be live like 50 some hours. Cheryl and I will be with you every morning at 8 a.m. for the morning pulse check starting November 7th. So Mountain Time, so you guys can catch us there as well. So you're going to see Cheryl's face a lot.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing. And then we have one more Herbal Thursdays right before Thanksgiving. So that'll be fun. We should talk about Thanksgiving herbs. And then we'll be off for the month of December to prepare for the Light Warrior program. Cheryl's one of the faculty members. So also, if you have not seen the Light Warrior program, it's epic. Go to ajatakasha.com, AJATAKASA. Oh my gosh, ajatakasha.com. And you'll be able to find all the information there as well. So Cheryl, I love you so much.
I love you
all the time. And I learned a lot today. I feel like I'm going to have to rewatch this and make the tea list of what I want to go get.
Yeah. I even forgot to get something when I was up in Netherland.
So
I'm not driving it again though.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I'm gonna order online, Netherland. I'm gonna post on real quick on MeWe the actual name of the apothecary in Netherland, because they were amazing. So I'll post that.
I love it. And I love all of you. It's the end of the week here for lives. If you're part of the Ajatakasha community, we do have our super new moon ceremony tomorrow at 1:30 Mountain Time. So you're welcome to join that. And if you wanted to come join the community, you can participate tomorrow. And I think that's it, man. I love everybody.
Bye.
Bye.